Football Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkish, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. Welcome to an in-depth look at professional football. Coming up, we check the draft needs across the NFL.
We've got the latest on the bounty story out of New Orleans, and did teams like the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Broncos take care of all their draft needs in free agency?
It's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
Along with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkish, this is Wayne Larrabee. The Way We Hear It features news and information gathered by the editors and reporters of Pro Football Weekly. And we begin this week with Associate Editor Kevin Fishbane. We thought we'd take this show, Kevin, to begin breaking down draft needs as we are heading into the month of April, and in the month of April, in fact, and the draft coming up toward the end of the month. So let's take a look at your division, the AFC East, the draft needs of this division. And why don't you start at the top with the New England Patriots? What are they looking for going into the draft?
Well, Wayne, the Patriots' draft needs this year aren't too far off from where they were last year. They need an edge rusher. They need a guy in that front seven that can get after the quarterback, especially without Mark Anderson, who's now in the division, but a Buffalo Bill. Andre Carter has not been re-signed. He's coming off a season-ending injury that happened at the end of the year. They need somebody down in that defensive line or an outside linebacker that can help that pass defense by putting pressure on the quarterback. The secondary, they did sign Steve Gregory, but they'd still like to get a safety. And Bill Belichick's made a habit of adding cornerbacks in the draft past few years, and I expect them to do the same, to try to get another cornerback in there, continue adding depth. When it comes to offense, they should add a running back after losing Green Ellis, but really it's going to be a defensive-minded draft for New England.
Well, Kevin, the Jets, to me, obviously need a quarterback, maybe two, but they don't seem to understand that. They're not going to go there. Let's talk about where they will go, and fill us in on Buffalo and Miami as well.
Well, I think with the Jets, it's got to be a pass rusher. They really haven't had a good pass rushing threat since John Abraham. Calvin Pace is getting up there in age. You know, they'd love to get a guy maybe like Courtney Upshaw with that first pick. The Jets also would like to probably get another running back for Tony Soprano's, you know, ground and pound offense to complement Sean Green and throw in the competition there with Joe McKnight. On defense, though, safety is still a big problem for them. They did sign Laurent Landry. He's got injury problems. He's had injury history. Eric Smith struggled last year. They could use another safety. The Jets, you know, they're set at cornerback. They have their quarterbacks who they believe in, but they still need a lot of help at a lot of positions. The Bills made their lives easier by getting Mario Williams and Mark Anderson, two pretty good pass rushers, so they don't have to worry about that in the draft. They do need a blindside tackle. That's their number one need, especially now Demetrius Bell is an Eagle. After that, wide receiver, they'd love to get another guy to complement Stevie Johnson. You know, they have a lot of youth there, but not a lot of proven guys. Another weapon for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And going back on defense, they need another cornerback. They really struggled defending the pass last year. The cornerbacks regressed. Leotis McKelvin lost his starting job, so corners where they're going to look. Miami Dolphins, they need a quarterback. They need that franchise guy. You know, they failed to get Peyton Manning. They failed to get Matt Flynn with that eighth pick. A lot of people pointing the Mike Sherman connection at Ryan Tannehill. They need to find a quarterback for the future, and they need a pass rusher. They still need a guy opposite Cameron Wake to get after the quarterback, and losing Jeremiah Bell hurt because they were already weak at safety, and now they cut their best strong safety. They need another guy to kind of patrol center field for them.
And there's not a lot of big-time talent at safety in this upcoming draft either. Kevin, thank you very much. Associate Editor Arthur Arkish is with us, and his beat is the AFC South. And Arthur, we've been talking the entire offseason, heck, most of last regular season, about the fact that it'll be the Colts, the number one pick in the draft. Andrew Luck will be their guy. There's also been a lot of talk about Robert Griffin III. Where are they at right now in that process?
Well, I think it's all but official that Andrew Luck is going to be that guy. Whatever Jim Mercer or anyone else wants to say, we believe that decision, and we continue to hear that that decision has already been made. So once you get past quarterback, I think that finding him a nice weapon to work with is going to be the top need for the Colts. They need another wide receiver. Re-signing Reggie Wayne was nice, but they need more guys who can work outside the numbers. After that, you're talking about Chuck Pagano trying to install his hybrid 3-4 defense. Right now, they don't have a nose tackle on the roster who can really fill the bill, so they need a guy who can be disruptive in the middle, a guy who can sort of crash the middle and prevent the quarterback from stepping up in the pocket and evading Mathis and Freeney, those two great pass rushers. And then lastly, they need a cornerback. That was a position that was in a greater state of flux than any other last season. And after Jerod Powers, who's been pretty solid but actually ended up last season on injured reserve, they don't have much. It's a lot of unproven commodities, so they need to get better there.
All right, and Arthur, we go around the rest of the division. I'm fascinated by the Texans, who are still loaded with talent, but gave away some real leadership and star power in Mario Williams and, of course, D'Amico Ryans. We look at the Tennessee Titans, who jumped in and didn't get a whole lot once Peyton Manning went away. And then Jacksonville, that is probably still, you know, in all fairness, in a rebuilding situation.
Sure. Starting with the Texans, you hit the nail on the head. You talked about sort of replenishing these guys that they had to let go for salary cap reasons. So I think that finding another outside linebacker is a major need. They need a third guy who can come off the edge and wreak havoc. And then I think that bolstering that offensive line, they think they're set in terms of the starters, but what happens when you lose an Eric Winston and a Mike Brizell is some of these backups have to, you know, come into the forefront, which means that they need to bolster depth. And I think arguably the greatest position of need, although the Texans are a team that doesn't have a lot of glaring weaknesses, I think we saw last season that that offense became, you know, one-dimensional after Andre Johnson went down. They didn't have the receivers who consistently get open and stretch the field, so I think that's going to be their number one target in the draft. When you're talking about the Titans, you mentioned they didn't get in Peyton Manning, obviously. They didn't really make a whole lot of moves. They got Cameron Wimbley, who should improve the pass rush, which was a major, major weakness last year, and then they did get Steve Hutchinson, who should upgrade the offensive line and particularly the run blocking. But I think when you're talking about the Titans, they need more pass rush. Wimbley's not going to be the answer on his own, so I think that getting that edge rusher is going to be key. They also need more help at safety and cornerback. The defensive back position needs to be addressed. They let Cortland Finnegan walk, and Michael Griffin, they decided to franchise tag, but he's not a guy who's been ultra consistent for them. And then they could still bolster the interior a little bit. Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews obviously know a thing or two about the offensive line, and they didn't see what they needed to see from run blocking last year. Lastly, the Jaguars. I think the top focus and really the focus of the entire offseason has been trying to get Blaine Gabbert to reach his full potential. They got the coaching staff in place. Now they need to get some more receivers. Laurent Robinson, if he can stay healthy, might be a nice get, but they need a lot more help there. That's 1A. 1B is defensive end. It sounds like deja vu. We've been saying for years that the Jaguars need more pass rush help. That hasn't changed. They re-signed Jeremy Mincy. He's more of an effort guy. They need a dynamic, really talented sort of game wrecker. They don't have that right now. And that outside linebacker is another position they could address. Clint Session, ended the season early last year with concussions, and Darryl Smith, as good as he is, you know, getting slightly long in the tooth, so they'll be looking for reinforcement at that position.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Way We Hear It coming up with Senior Editor Mike Wilkening on the AFC North when Pro Football Weekly resumes. You are listening to Pro Football Weekly, featuring the publisher and editor, Hub Arkush, and the Pro Football Weekly staff. And off of that staff is senior editor Mike Wilkening, who covers the AFC North and the Detroit Lions. And before we get to your North Division notes, Mike, tough week for the Lions. I mean, a couple of young players who figure prominently in their plans of the future, and certainly that being this coming season. Mikel Ashour, the running back, Nick Fairley, the defensive tackle, both picked up on drug charges, marijuana.
Yeah, in the case of Nick Fairley, of the arrest reportedly this week, Mikel Ashour just came to light this week that he basically had two incidents in about the span of a month. So obviously both players are going to face the legal system, quite obviously. One of Mikel Ashour's cases has already been resolved, but he's got the second one outstanding, Nick Fairley as well. And also we've got the prospect of NFL discipline under the substance abuse policy. So when you look at it, three-fifths of the 2011 draft class, including Johnny Culbreth, a seventh-round pick from last year, have had marijuana incidences for which they've been charged. So I think when you look at it, obviously this has not been the best start for this draft class.
Mike, let me have you give us a real quick rundown on each of the four teams in the AFC North and the Lions. Just kind of 1-2-3 draft needs. You can just roll through them, and then if there's a question or two, we'll ask when you're done.
Sure. We'll start in Baltimore. They won the division last year. But I think the offensive line is the big need for them. I think really, they're a little bit old at center. They have to address the left guard position, potentially with Ben Grubbs gone. Wide receiver, you can always use more speed at that position. Torrey Smith really helped that position last year. But I think they need one more guy. And safety, it's more of a look at the future at that position. Ed Reed getting up in age. They lost two backups in Tom Zbikowski and Haruki Nakamura last last year. So I think when it comes down to it, they're going to have to address some needs at that particular position. The Bengals, I think they're a team that they could have a starter or two come out of the first round. You know, wide receiver is a need with A.J. Green, obviously solid at that one spot, but Jerome Simpson is a free agent, obviously facing NFL discipline for some off-the-field issues. Corner is a need that still needs to be addressed. I know they were able to sign Jason Allen, but I think they still need to get deeper there. And the defensive line, I think, is also a position they need to address. They lost Frosty Rucker and Jonathan Finene at the outset of free agency. You sign a couple of extra first-rounders, or former first-rounders, I should say, in Derek Harvey and Jamal Anderson. What can they contribute? You always want to get younger, get more pass rush help there. So I think that's a position you need to look at with them. Cleveland, there is no team in the division that has more pressing draft needs than the Cleveland Browns, and I think they're all primarily on offense. I think quarterback, wide receiver, and running back are all positions of need. They have two first-round picks, so you could see them, I think, going any number of directions there. They have built the defense pretty nicely over the years, but this is a team that, frankly, guys, just has not been able to score enough points. I think you could also look at right tackle as a need. They really need to address that side of the ball in the draft because they haven't done so in free agency. So let's see if they can add some explosiveness there. And real quick, looking at Pittsburgh, I think, again, this is a team they need to get younger in the trenches. Nose tackle is a need with Casey Hampton getting up in age. Took a pay cut coming off a knee injury. I think they need to look at the front line there. And I think offensive guard and offensive tackle, when you look at that side of the ball, I think those are two positions where the draft could maybe bring some reinforcements.
Mike, you know, I look at the Detroit Lions, and everybody looked at the improvement last year, and are they the next young guns to come? But the reality is they need a lot of help on the back seven on defense, and they did re-sign Stephen Tulloch, but they lost their best cornerback in Eric Wright, and so they actually took a step backwards in a great area of need.
Well, Hub, as you know, if you're going to win that division, Wayne certainly, obviously, you know as well, if you're going to win that division, you've got to stop Green Bay, or at least get enough stops to win a shootout, and they weren't able to do that. Matt Flynn obviously had the career game in the season finale, and then New Orleans was able to throw on them with great success. So I think corner is at the top of that list. I think looking forward, offensive tackle is a need. Jeff Backus getting up in age, and running back is a need because, again, the injuries to the position last year with Javid Best and Michael Ashore, and obviously Michael Ashore having the off-field incident. I think those are the top three needs for the Detroit Lions.
That's senior editor Mike Wilkening. We'll have more news and notes, the AFC West plus the Giants and Cowboys when we come back on Pro Football Weekly. Welcome back to this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrabee along with Hub Arkish. Associate editor Eli Cabron is off this week. He covers the AFC West. And Hub, you know, let's start with the Denver Broncos. They added Peyton Manning, and what are they looking to shore up now as we head toward the draft?
Well, Wayne, you know, all the story, of course, in free agency, they get Peyton Manning. But the bottom line is if he's going to succeed, he's still going to need some help. And at running back, you know that the Broncos still want to run the football. People don't realize that when Peyton's calling plays, he called on Joseph Addai and Donald Brown and those guys quite often, Dominic Rhodes back in their Super Bowl year. All they've got is Willis McGahee, who is 31 years old with some really bad knees. They drafted Knowshon Moreno. He has not been what they had hoped for. They're going to go for more talent, maybe even frontline talent at running back. They need help at defensive tackle to create some interior pressure. And as much as you love their secondary with names like Champ Bailey and Brian Dawkins, these guys are both in their mid to late 30s. They got to get younger in the secondary, and they will draft a quarterback. They may have signed Caleb Haney, but they know they got to get better. In Peyton Manning style, they'll only carry two, but they're going to get somebody to compete with Caleb Haney. Kansas City Chiefs did a real nice job addressing needs in free agency, so they're going to go best available football player, but they'd be really pleased if the best guy available in the first round was a nose tackle. They also want to get better at inside linebacker and then defensive end. All about the front seven for the Chiefs. You look at the Oakland Raiders, free agency non-existent for them. They know they've got to get an outside linebacker who can both pressure the passer and be stout against the run. They've also got to get a cornerback. Nnamdi Asamoah is left. Stanford Rout is left. They've got to get starting talent at that position. They always want to get better at wide receiver. And in tight end, they let Zach Miller get away, and there was nobody there to step into the breach. For the San Diego Chargers, offensive line, and more offensive line. You lose Marcus McNeil and Chris Dielman. You got to get better there. They'd like a defensive end, although they just signed Luis Castillo, which people didn't think was going to happen. He's a pretty good five technique, so they'll be okay there. They'll still want to get young talent for depth, and they want to get deeper at the running back position as well.
Well, joining us also is senior editor Eric Edholm, and his beat is the NFC East. One of his teams also, however, from the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings. Some news came out this week, Eric, I wanted to ask you about. Ziggy Wilf, the owner, apparently approached Bill Parcells probably during this period where the Saints were saying, hey, why don't you come out and coach the team for a year, and with Sean Payton being out. But anyway, Wilf apparently, allegedly told Parcells, name your price, you can take over the front office and the coaching staff. True or not, this has to make a lot of people in Vikings land a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not like Leslie Frazier was given a firm vote of support. I mean, he was brought back after last season, which was the worst in the 51 years of the team's history. So, you know, that's going to make you nervous as a head coach. And Rick Spielman was just promoted to GM, so it almost makes you ask, well, how much was that worth? I mean, what did it really do to Rick in terms of that, if Ziggy Wilf is looking at Parcells to be this senior, you know, chief overhead guy that's going to oversee everything in the franchise? So there is some question about the direction. The team's taken a very slow, measured approach in free agency. So fans may be a little bit uneasy right now, and in the building, people are uneasy as well.
Well, assuming it's Rick Spielman, talk to us about the draft needs of the Minnesota Vikings before we get to the NFC East.
Yeah, they're picking third, and everybody says, okay, this is really the first pick of the draft. We know, you know, Luck and Griffin are going to go 1-2, at least we believe so. So, you know, they have three needs they can address with that pick. I mean, that's the good news. They got left tackle, they've got wide receiver, and they've got cornerback. Those are three positions I think they really need to bolster. They've signed a few corners, Zach Bowman and Chris Carr, in free agencies. That might lessen the need a little bit. They'll still take one, but I think it's going to be later on down the road. I think left tackle, if they stay at three, is the top need.
All right, let's go to the NFC East. You know, the Cowboys added interior line in free agency. Is that their still a target for them in this draft?
It's a possibility, Wayne. I mean, a guy like David DeCastro makes a lot of sense, but I think they go with an impact defensive player at 14. They've been all over Alabama. There are four players from the Crimson Tide who could land in round one. I could see any of them fitting in as a defensive impact player. You know, nose tackle, defensive end, probably the top positions. I could see them going with another linebacker. But, you know, they need help at wide receiver, too. Laurent Robinson left. Defensive back's an issue. So they got a few areas they can address.
I'm fascinated by how the Cowboys played the salary cap game, Eric. And, you know, the one thing they did do is they really needed help on the interior of the offensive line. They brought in Livings and the other kid, Barbadeau, I think it was.
Bernadeau, yeah.
You know, I mean, they get a safety and a corner and Brandon Carr and of course, Brodnie Poole. And yet they're also going to have to absorb at least half of that $10 million cap penalty this year. So they did a pretty nice job there. Now, I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, same thing. I don't know that they're in cap trouble, but you lose a Jason Peters, and suddenly a Demetrius Bell pops up for him. Now, I understand Bell has had trouble staying healthy, but he may have been the best available potential left tackle at the beginning of free agency. Why was he still sitting there?
Yeah, surprised there wasn't more of a market. It kind of heated up in the last week or so. Packers got involved. A couple other teams kind of sniffed around. The Bills didn't show a lot of interest in bringing him back, which may tell you something, but he's got the left feet. It's a slightly different blocking style. He could be the left tackle, and that takes away a huge need. Peters is probably going to be out for 6 months minimum. He'll start the year on the PUP list, might miss the entire season. We don't yet know. But all of a sudden, at 15, I'm in the first round, they can go defensive tackle. They can go for depth at another position. They still need a safety. But it wouldn't stun me to see them go with a quarterback or a running back. Yes, I know LeSean McCoy and Michael Vick are still in their prime and all that, but they need depth at that position. If those guys get hurt and they're injury prone, I think they got to have somebody to step in as a backup.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more news and notes as we get sent for the NFL draft on Pro Football Weekly. And we continue with senior editor Eric Edholm. And Eric, your beat, part of it, includes the New York Giants. The world champs, as usual, have not been too busy in the offseason in terms of free agency. Where are they at going into the draft?
Yeah, really only signed one player of note, Martellus Bennett, a tight end, just to fill the void of Jake Ballard being hurt and Travis Beckham both suffering torn ACLs. So I still think tight end might be a need for them. They could draft one at some point, but I don't put it ahead of the offensive line, the defensive line, wide receiver. You know, those are positions that the Giants are willing to take in round one, and I think those are the spots that they are most likely to go after. Are they still strengths? I mean, yeah, we saw the D-line and the Super Bowl dominate the Patriots at time all throughout the playoffs. You know, the offensive line looks to be in good shape, but they can always use a little more help. Kareem McKenzie left. There's some spots that I think are open on this roster.
Oh, of course, we got to finish with the Washington Redskins, Eric, and we know what they're going to do with that first pick, and then they're probably not going to have much left for all the dealing they've done.
Yeah, we know their biggest need. It's quarterback, and it's going to be filled by Robert Griffin. You know, don't believe the talk about the Colts making a switch at pick one. So they'll get Griffin, and he seems to fit the offense, and you know they before drafting him, they were able to fill some receiver needs, which I think will help. They'd love a right tackle. That would really be a great thing to really help out Griffin as well, especially if they're going to roll out to his strong side, his right-handed side. You know, you've got to have a guy who can seal the edge. They don't know Jamal Brown's health. And I think safety is a big need as well. I mean, I just don't know what they're going to do at that position. I mean, whether you can count on Brandon Mayweather, Cedric Griffin, a converted corner. They've got a couple of reserves on the roster who might be able to fill in a pinch. But I think that's an area they have to fill in some void. But they just don't have a pick until the third round they can really address it with.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. Associate Editor Dan Parr is with us. The Bears and the NFC South, his beat. Dan, let's isolate the Bears for a moment here. Now, they have been active in free agency. What are they looking for in the draft?
Well, in the first kind of wave here of free agency, they've really focused on offense. They made a run at some defensive players, didn't really end up with anyone of note on that side of the ball. You would think defense is where they'll be looking early in the draft, but this is Phil Emery, their general manager's first go-around. Has his background is in college scouting, but he's never led a personnel department before. This was a big jump for him. High expectations for him going into this, and so a pass rusher off the edge, cornerback, those jump out as two needs, but they have him on offense still too, offensive line, offensive tackle in particular, and they still need some more help at wide receiver.
All right, Dan, we're going to get back to the way we hear it-ish newest Greg Williams New Orleans Saints information at the back end of your report. First, talk about draft needs. You've got Mickey Loomis's suspension doesn't start until the season. He'll run this draft. What are the Saints looking for and the Falcons? You can't really separate the two in the standings. What are the draft needs for those two clubs?
Well, starting off with the Saints, I look at them as a team that still needs to improve on defense. Offensively, we know what they're capable of. They have a lot of weapons there. They lost Robert Meacham, re-signed Marcus Colston, so could they look at wide receiver? That's a spot, but I think defensive end, defensive tackle, cornerback, safety, those are the areas they need to address. They did a lot at linebacker in free agency, and for the Falcons, I don't think they're looking to necessarily replace Sam Baker this season, but I think left tackle is a spot where they need to find a guy who can step in there and eventually be a long-term answer. I'm not convinced Baker is the guy. Defensive line, still a place where they could have room for improvement as well.
All right, your other two clubs, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a ton of work to do, and we look at the Carolina Panthers. I think we know defense, but tell us exactly where.
Well, for the Panthers, I think what they've been missing for a long time now is really a hammer in the middle of the defensive line. A guy that's going to eat up space, that's going to have a little bit of athleticism, can get a push from the inside. I think defensive tackle is where they looked. Cornerback, that was a weakness for them last year, too. Opposite Chris Gamble, you had Captain Marlin, who fits better as a nickel or dime type of guy. I think those are the two areas in need. And for the Bucs, they did so much work already in free agency, landing three big-time guys in Vincent Jackson, Carl Nixon, Eric Wright. But there are still holes, like you mentioned, a running back. They need someone to come in and, if not compliment LeGarrette Blount, be that number one guy and have him be the compliment. Defensively, that was a huge issue for them all year long last year. Franchise record in points. Cornerback, safety, linebacker, all areas of concern for them.
Well, and Dan, let's get back to that story real quickly with the Saints. Of course, Greg Williams is now a Ram, now a man without a country, actually. But
There
is actually audio available now of him instructing players to go out and hurt other players, and you just got to believe this is the story that just isn't going to die as far as what went on with this bounty program in New Orleans.
On the same day that Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, Joe Vitt, and Saints organization are in New York to meet with Roger Goodell and appeal the discipline they faced from documentary filmmaker Sean Pamphilon, who has been working with Steve Gleason, who is, we know, a lot of people know the story of him. He's suffering from Lou Gehrig's disease. This recording comes out on that very same day, and it's Greg Williams apparently discussing what we've been talking about for a few months now. He's said to be, Pamphilon alleges that he saw him rubbing his index finger against his thumb, making the money symbol when he's discussing about putting a hit on Alex Smith. He says, "I got the first one." So that gives you a little more of a peek behind the curtain. This is the most explosive stuff we've heard yet, obviously, from this story. Goes to show really what was going on behind the scenes. And this comes after, 2 years after, they knew that there was an investigation into the supposed bounty program. This event happened in the playoff game against the 49ers last season.
Thank you very much, Dan. We check in on the AFC West when Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages. Welcome back to this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly, along with the publisher and editor, Hub Arkish, and the Pro Football Weekly staff of editors. This is Wayne Larrivee. We're joined by executive editor Dan Arkish. And Dan, part of your beat, the Green Bay Packers. The Packers tried to take care of some defensive line needs in free agency with a couple of signings, most notably Anthony Hargrove, who should provide some pass rush on the interior of that line. Specifically, from what I've been told, they're not done yet in free agency. They're still trying to talk with Dave Tollefson as we record this program. He's a defensive lineman who originally came in with the Packers as a seventh-round draft choice and, of course, has played most recently with the New York Giants, who was a member of the rotation on the defensive line for the World Champions. But going into the draft, you know, when you look at this team, if you feel like you've taken care of needs on that defensive line, still outside linebacker and possibly safety are great needs on that defense.
Yeah, I would have to say, Wayne, that the biggest need by far is still another pass rusher or two that can provide consistent outside pressure along with Clay Matthews. They just really, once Colin Jenkins left, never had that other threat. That's the biggest need. And, of course, Nick Collins' future remains very uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen there. And after they lost him, the communication in the secondary really left a lot to be desired. So they, I think, have a big need in that secondary. And I think they could also use some more corners, too, because Charles Woodson's getting up there in years.
You know, Dan, I got to believe it's difficult for the St. Louis Rams. They and Dave McGinnis and other veteran defensive coaches, they're going to cover for the loss of Greg Williams just fine, but has to have been a bit of a distraction, maybe a good thing for a team that was terrible last year. When you look at their draft needs, obviously wide receiver, but beyond that, it would seem like defense, defense, and more defense, or is it the offensive line?
I would have to say probably defense is more of a need. You know, they just have right now really only one tackle. They brought in Kendall Langford, the ex-Dolphin. He shapes up as one of the tackles. They released both starters from last year, Justin Bannon and Fred Robbins. So they need another big run stuffer up front. And they only have, I believe, like three or four linebackers signed at the moment. So, you know, that front seven needs a huge amount of work.
I have no idea where to even start with the Arizona Cardinals. They're a team that just seems to hang around mediocrity in spite of having been in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Well, I would have to say that their offensive line probably shapes up as the biggest concern, even though they did bring in the versatile Adam Snyder, who did a real good job for the Niners last year. He shapes up as the new right guard, but I think they still have huge issues at tackle. They need better protection for Kevin Cobb moving forward. So I'd make that probably their biggest need. They also need an outside pass rusher in addition to some of these youngsters that came on strong last year. And I think a number two wide receiver would still be nice to complement Larry Fitzgerald.
Meanwhile, Seattle, the big signing of Matt Flynn at quarterback, that's going to add to the competition to that position. Where are they looking in the draft now?
You know, I think linebacker is a huge need. David Hawthorne, who was their leading tackler each of the last three seasons, he just signed with the Saints. There's a lot of talk about them going after Boston College's Luke Kuechly, who's a can't-miss guy with that 12th pick, although they might think that's a little bit too high to take a middle backer. But they need a lot of help at backer, both in terms of speed and depth. They also need another outside pass rusher real bad, opposite Chris Clemens, who's one of the more underrated studs in the league when it comes to sacking.
You know, Dan, I know they came up short of the Super Bowl, but we round out the NFC West with what I think was probably the best team in the NFC at the end of the year. Just, you know, injuries kept them from making a few plays, wide receiver against the Giants in that NFC title game. And they've had a, I don't want to say great, they've had an incredibly active offseason in free agency. What are the 49ers going to do?
Well, I think they have a real big need at right guard. You know, we mentioned Snyder before, and so right now they have to find a starter to replace him. And I guess the front runner right now is second-year pro Daniel Kilgore, who they think is really going to be a good player. But, boy, he's raw. He only had, like, one snap last year. So I believe they're going to, you know, definitely get some competition at that guard position. I still think they need more help at wide receiver. They went out and got Mario Manningham and Randy Moss, but I think they still need more to augment that passing game. And I think they need some depth on that defensive line. You know, they've got a tremendous workhorse starting D-line, but they can't go on forever. They're getting up there in years, so I think some depth up front on defense should help them.
That's executive editor Dan Arkish. Coming up, our NFL draft expert Nolan Naraki on Pro Football Weekly when we come back. We continue with this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly, and we welcome in the senior editor and the author of Pro Football Weekly's draft preview book, Nolan Naraki. Nolan, let's begin with just kind of an overview of the strengths and weaknesses of this draft as you see it. Give us a broad painting of what we're looking at in the draft coming up later this month.
Well, with 6,500 classmen entering this year, I think it's much stronger than it looked early on with the very weak senior class. The two quarterbacks, Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck, really helped the quarterback class. They'll be the top two picks this year. I think there's a very strong defensive line class, especially in the middle. We could see as many as 7 defensive tackles drafted in the first round. It's a very weak crop at safety, very weak crop at tight end. I think there are some good linebackers this year. There's a lot of depth at the receiver position. You could find good receivers throughout. And I think there's a lot of depth at the running back position as well.
You mentioned the quarterbacks, and we'll get to some other strengths and some weaknesses in a minute. But everybody talking about, of course, Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, and a lot of people have popped Ryan Tannehill up in way too high. I mean, I think the Dolphins may overdraft because they need him at 7. But I think there have been times when you've been almost as impressed with Michigan State's Kirk Cousins as you have been with Tannehill, haven't you?
Well, if you look at his intangibles, his leadership ability, his ability to command an offense, I think he's really impressive from that standpoint. I think he can walk into a precision passing game and start right away. And, you know, West Coast offenses are going to be thrilled to have him.
You know, this is a passing league, Nolan, and reading your material on the draft crop at running back, give us one or two guys who could really hang in there and carry it 20, 25 times a game, knowing full well that if you're running a first-class NFL offense this day and age, you don't run the ball 20, 25, 30 times a game.
Well, the two that really stand out are Trent Richardson from Alabama and Doug Martin from Boise State. I think they're both extremely strong, very physical type runners. Richardson's very rare. There hasn't been a running back like him since Adrian Peterson came out. I think he's got outstanding balance, outstanding strength. He's going to be a bell cow for some team.
All right, Nolan, now we'll get back to offense in a minute, but we didn't touch on some of the weaknesses, and I think that's sometimes where teams want to start. Interestingly enough, I don't think there's a team in the league that wouldn't like help at safety. I'm curious about that position and any other areas that may be weaknesses in this draft.
There's really only two safeties this year, Mark Barron from Alabama and Harrison Smith. I think they will have a chance to go in the first round because there are no other safeties, true starters in the class. You know, teams are going to be reaching, trying to fill that position. You look at the tight ends this year, and Kobe Fleener, I think, could get pushed up into the first round from Stanford. Likewise, because there really aren't many others, Dwayne Allen and Orson Charles, the two juniors from Clemson and Georgia, could fit into the second round, but there's really not a whole lot of quality at the tight end position either.
Now, how about the outside linebackers, the pass rushers? Maybe they're a defensive end in a 4-3 front. Maybe they're an outside rush linebacker in a 3-4. How much depth here? And are there two or three or four guys who can really make a difference right away?
Courtney Upshaw from Alabama stands out as a difference maker as a 3-4 outside linebacker. There are a number of others. Melvin Ingram from South Carolina could get looks in that role. Even Chandler Jones from Syracuse, he played defensive end, but I think he could get looks as a linebacker. So there's a good number this year. Rennell Lewis from Oklahoma, I think there's a good handful that could project to that position.
Chandler Jones, he's really just a slightly bigger version of Dwight Freeney, isn't he?
I think if you look at the measurables and the numbers, you know, he's more comparable to a player like Alden Smith from Missouri last year. You know, he's much more raw in his development, but he has freakish type of talent.
Let's go back to the offense. Everybody always talks about wide receiver. It's a passing game, as I mentioned, on the NFL level. Seems like there's some depth in this class this year at wide receiver.
There is. Justin Blackmon from Oklahoma State is where it starts. He and Michael Floyd from Notre Dame, I think, could become solid Z receivers, could be looked at in the top 10. You know, Reuben Randall from LSU, I think, is a solid X, could really stretch the field. Kendall Wright from Baylor is the top slot receiver. Even though he didn't have a great pro day workout, I think he could come in and make an impact.
Nolan, everybody wants a left tackle on offense. Even if you got one, everybody wants another one because they're so hard to find. Now, traditionally, you talk about a top pick, a top three, top four pick to get a Jake Long, a Joe Thomas, a Jason Smith. A lot of these guys who come out in recent years, that's where you got to go. You got Matt Khalil this year who may fall into that group, but what comes up after Khalil?
It's a little bit shaky after Khalil. I think he's going to be a bona fide left tackle. And then you look at Riley Reiff from Iowa, and the big concern with him is that his arms measure 32 and 5/8. He doesn't have ideal left tackle feet. He may be able to played a position, but a lot of teams are looking at him as a guard right now. Illinois' Jeff Allen, I think, despite being knock-kneed and not looking quite the part, he's very productive out there and could potentially develop into a right or a left tackle. Bobby Massey from Mississippi is another that could potentially play on either side.
You know, offensive interior linemen are usually not picked real high in a draft, but there are some intriguing prospects in this group, and I want to go with the center, Peter Kahns. 6'5", 314. This kid seems like he could be a stalwart on somebody's offensive line, and does he fit the zone blocking schemes that so many teams are running?
I think he can fit either. You know, he did a lot of zone blocking at Wisconsin, and he's got enough size to fit in a power scheme. I think he's got to get a little bit stronger. Didn't work out the best at the combine, but he's definitely got the size to plug in the middle and play right away.
Nolan Naraki, the NFL draft expert from Pro Football Weekly. We'll be hearing a lot from him in these next couple of weeks. Stay tuned. Publisher's Pen is next on Pro Football Weekly. The Publisher's Pen with the publisher and editor of Pro Football Weekly, Hub Arkush. Hub?
Well, Wayne, thank you very much. And as we mentioned a little while ago, the New Orleans Saints bounty story is one that's not going to go away quietly. It's not going to go away at all. And it's obvious that their former defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, is going to take the biggest hit. And finally, this past week, there is some truly damning evidence out there. An audio tape has leaked. Apparently, there was a documentary being done on a former Saint, Steve Gleason, and there was cameras allowed into the room the night before the NFC divisional playoff game between the 49ers and the Saints, in which Greg Williams made a comment. He was talking about quarterback Alex Smith and told his players how he wanted him hit. And the expression he used was, if you kill the head, the body will die. Now, what struck me about that, a little over 40 years ago, I was starting to play football in high school, and I had a coach, his name was Ron O'Connor, a mild-mannered English teacher, and the way he taught us to play football over 40 years ago was that quote. He said, if you kill the head, the body will die. Now, listen, guys, there is nothing acceptable about a bounty program, about trying to injure people, but we always have to come back to, this is the roots of the game. Football is a violent sport, and you're taught to play it violently, and there's going to have to be some balance on these penalties to how much of it was the bounty and how much of it is Roger Goodell's ongoing desire to make the game safer for its players.
Thanks very much, Hub. That'll do it for Pro Football Weekly this week. The coordinating producer and engineer of Pro Football Weekly is Randy Meyer. Pro Football Weekly originates from the studios of Syndication Networks in Chicago, Illinois. For Hub Arkush and the Pro Football Weekly staff, this is Wayne Larrabee. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on Pro Football Weekly.